The old ways may not be the best ways when it comes to setting the global price of gold. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and the economy. The World Gold Council is set to meet today to confront suggestions that the official price of gold could be rigged. Since what seems like the dawn of time, business reporters have dutifully reported the morning and afternoon gold fixing from London. This is a benchmark price set by a handful of banks in a pair of daily conference calls. But like the widely used interest rate known as LIBOR, there's evidence that gold buyers might sometimes pay an inflated price because of behind-the-scenes tactics. Peter Lukshan is with Fideris Partners, a market consultancy group based in London. Mr. Lukshan, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Regulators say that price rigging is possible, although we haven't seen the evidence yet. Your firm has conducted some research that suggests that manipulation at least is a possibility?
Yes. Our firm conducted extensive quantitative analysis of gold market pricing, and we did find a number of anomalous observations in the data that are consistent with potentially front-running behavior during the call or even potentially some manipulative conduct that could have occurred before or during the call itself.
What are some of the ways you think that this market, if it needs work, could clean itself up?
We think there are some precedents of market actually resolving some of these problems. We've seen in the context of high-frequency trading allegations already exchanges being sort of reformed by preventing transactions that are consistent with high-frequency algorithms. So something similar, hopefully, should be taking place in the case of gold market. We see that the World Gold Council is meeting today. They have already identified some high-level requirements for refined or revised process around the gold fixing, which includes transparency, the requirement that it's tradable and based on actual transactions. So we think that there are precedents. There has also been some reforms in relation to the LIBOR benchmark, and there's been some proposals put forward in relation to the silver fix, which could be also used as an example of an effort to improve things.
Yes, the silver market, indeed. Peter Lukshan at Fideris Partners in London, thank you very much for this.
Thank you.
Now let's check the latest numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.2% at the moment. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong closed down slightly. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down. Now, ever wonder when you gaze at the list of ingredients in food where some of those ingredients come from? In some cases, a Switzerland-based company called Wild Flavors. There's news that agribusiness giant Archer Daniels Midland is buying Wild Flowers for about $3 billion plus debt. Among Wild's offerings include food additives that neutralize bad taste, color enhancers, and something called salt trim that lets food processors cut salt without making the food taste listless. Marketplace contributor Alan Sloan is angry. Now, he can be grumpy, but angry is pretty rare for him, actually. He's so unhappy about big American companies moving their tax headquarters overseas that he has commandeered the cover of Fortune magazine with a piece that reads positively un-American, that calls this maneuver a tax dodge worth billions that forces the, quote, rest of us to pay the corporation's share. Hello there, Alan.
Hi, David.
I'm not going one more syllable without pointing out that what these companies are doing, shifting their tax home overseas to Luxembourg, Switzerland, Ireland, wherever, this is not illegal.
No, it's not illegal, and we say that, but it's wrong, despite the fact I don't run around wearing an American flag and talking about how much I love America. I'm the grandson of immigrants. Without this country, my whole family would have been destroyed. And now I see people leaving it not out of morals, not out of scruples, but to sort of make money. And then they don't even leave. They just go off and stick you and me with the tab. And that makes me angry.
Now, the tab's a pretty big one. You've been doing some math. It came in at north of $19 billion that might have been flowing into the U.S. Treasury.
Well, again, it's impossible to tell how much this has all cost. There's a projection, which is probably too low, that unless we do something, it'll run $19.5 billion to the federal treasury over 10 years. But I suspect it's much higher. And I'm not counting state and local. I'm not counting a whole lot of things.
They are serving their shareholders, though, Alan. That's exactly what they're saying right now as they're listening to you.
That's what they say, except what they're doing is maybe getting their stock price up in the short run, which is what shareholder value, this ridiculous term, has come to mean. In the end, when you undermine the federal government, when you undermine the local government, and you do a lot of business in the United States, you tell me how in the long run weakening these governments, forcing them deeper into debt, is better than staying here and paying and fighting to fix it. It's an absurd argument. It sounds great until you parse it. So I decided to parse it.
Alan Sloan, senior editor-at-large for Fortune magazine. His piece in Fortune with the headline Positively Un-American is just hitting the stands and websites today. Alan, thank you.
You're welcome.
And reading Mr. Sloan's piece, by the way, I found at least one thing that cheered him up in Britain after a Reuters expose showed that Starbucks had figured out clever ways to pay little or no taxes despite major operations in the UK. There was an outcry there, and now the coffee chain has agreed to pay more into the UK Treasury. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.